Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Thanking God for another day of being here. It is raining like crazy in New York. Don't know how everybody else is doing, but it's not too pretty out here. So, to Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York City, currently with isoradio.com. You can hear Barry do his things every Saturday from 7 to 10 p.m., again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m., when he's not doing that, everybody, he is gracing you with the best of live R&B events all over the best of venues in New York. This upcoming Thursday is no exception. He's going to be co-hosting with DJ Felix Hernandez of WBLS FM in New York. And you can head over to SOB's, that's 204 Varick Street in New York City, and mix it up with the best of live DJ mix masters all in one spot under one roof, and go have a good time and see what's up. All right? So if you don't know where to go, head over to the Facebook page of Barry Mason or ClassicSoul.com, or head over to TrackOneEntertainment.web.com, and you'll be able to catch up with the calendar right there. Thanking my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yevans, DJ Domeka, Lightning Williams, Monster Mouth, and of course, our activists and panelists who we've been missing for some time now, Deacon Zeddy Williams in Toledo, Ohio. So thank you all for being one hell of a team, everybody. Thanking our sister stations, 93.1, Jam Packed Radio in Toledo, Ohio, with Devon Lewis, syndicating us every Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. And then we have Jason Dodd with the AM/FM 247 network, syndicating us every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. So thank you very much, guys, for all that you do to help us move along here. To my starting panelists, Erica Talbert, Professor Carlton Jones, Patrick Irvine, Altamir Atkins, and Thalo Jenkins, Darlene and Arlene, you guys are phenomenal. Thank you all very much for what you do on and off the air to help keep us going and making this mission happen. I want to big up my clients, Miss Stephanie Jano and Derek Bell. You guys have been phenomenal people. You guys have heard her. You guys have heard about Derek. So you guys keep a listen and take a look over on our Facebook page and On the Edge Radio Show with Katie Bunnett and friends and the KPA Publicist Agency to keep up with what's going to be going on with the show and the show's clients. So don't go anywhere. We will definitely be heading your way with some announcements. Also, I want to thank my social media groups, On the Edge Listeners Lounge, you wonderful group of people here. You've been active and very cooperative and participative. I appreciate all that you offer to the topics. To Linda Millen, the Black Love Conversations group, Carl Tone Jones, What About Us, Patrick Irvine with the Urban Intellectuals Open Discussions group, to Mark Pittman with both his groups, Black History Suppressed, and the Real World Black News and Discussions group, and Marvin Young with the Capitalist End group. You guys have been nonstop great in all that we do here. So I'm thanking you all very much for this. Now, we are going to be touching on a interesting topic tonight, and we're going to be speaking on the subject, protective class laws. Are protective class laws a blanket for classless behavior? We're going to be speaking on how these special laws designed in place for these special interest groups and special class protection groups, you know, how it is that while these laws are put in to protect the unique needs and unique infractions on these people, in turn, the protected class members actually are using it as a blanket to just pretty much go buck wild and figure that they are exempt from the law because everybody's so afraid to touch on the actual behavior rather than the category that they're in. So when we get back, we will be discussing that, and we're from our sponsors, and we're going out today with Adam Lambert and What Do You Want From Me. After him, a word from our sponsors. We will be back right after this. So keep a lock with Katie. We'll be discussing stuff right after this. Don't go away.
Like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with K.D. Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and it is time to get started with tonight's discussion. Question on the table is, are protected class laws a blanket for classless behavior? Okay? This is going to the motion of, we have a need for the government to intervene and to put in laws against outrageous behavior to people who don't know how to deal with special class people. For example, disabled people, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community, women, youth, things to that effect. We all know that there are hate crimes going on. There is unjust discrimination because some people just don't know how to respect people of all types and all genders and walks of life, and not judge them based on their actual actions, but base them just simply on a prejudice, a bigotry, a restricted way of thinking, assumptions, things to that effect. So let's get started. Upon asking the pre-broadcast question today, I got a lot of face-to-face responses. Many people believe that the answer is yes, I'm one of them. I believe that there are people out there, media is one of the main culprits of showing this as true, where people understand that they can go out there and they are protected by special class laws or special interest group laws, where you can't be denied a job, an apartment, you can't be denied treatment, you can't be denied alone without equal opportunity being enforced and in place. Problem is, we know that despite all of these things, there are people who will break that law and try to find some way to legally cover it up or legally justify what they're doing. Now, we're not speaking about them. We're speaking about the actual people who are protected under these laws. So I'm going to put into motion my favorite little saying, because apparently people tend to not hear what's actually being spoken about, and they like to say things just based on a knee-jerk reaction. If what I speak about on this panel in a negative fashion does not apply to you, then they're not your shoes and don't put your feet in them. Because we know there wouldn't be media stories, there wouldn't be these needs for scandal, there wouldn't be any of these things if what I'm speaking about doesn't exist. So with that being said, tonight's show is not pointing out any personal viewpoints of my own, nor will any person calling in tonight be able to put out personal viewpoints about the people themselves. We are strictly speaking on the effects of the topic on hand, and that is, do people under these laws tend to take the law and take advantage of it to be able to do what they want to do? We're going to start with what I feel is the biggest, and based on surveys, this is the biggest corporate community that does this, and that is the LGBT community. Now, those of you listening who's a part of that community, if you really want to know what we're speaking about before you start getting all outraged and calling your little protest friends, take a listen. We know that there are very many hateful people out there. We know that the LGBT community gets some really horrible things happening. People are beating up people simply because they know they're gay, or they know they appreciate same sex, or they cross-dress, or they surgically change their gender. That would be where the laws apply, to protect those people from hate, from being able to not walk the street without having something happen. And I may have said that wrong. However, this is to allow them to be able to be like any other human being despite what their lifestyle choices are, and walk the streets without any type of repercussions or safety hazards whatsoever. Now, in turn, that does not allow the person that is protected under this class to behave recklessly, to impose on anyone else, to commit crimes against anyone else, and simply because they are under this protected class, they walk away without any type of accountability. But that's exactly what happens in our society. Let's bring out a couple of points. Because of this law, because of the unity, if you want to call it that, because of the masses of outcries, outrage, of bold posts, of fights for rights from this community, people tend to overlook when one of their own actually commits something that universally is a crime, universally is not allowed, universally is immoral. And what happens is everybody, because of the outcry from their community, tends to outlook or overlook the actual crime because the person who committed the crime was a part of that community. For example, if you are a member of this community, and you made passive advances, some actual attacks sexually against someone, many people are afraid to come forth and complain or file charges, or the media will not allow those charges or those cases to ever hit the public, because it in turn goes away from the actual crime or charges of harassment to it was a gay person, and that therefore that person is making assumptions based on the fact that the person is gay, or the person is a bisexual or transgender or gay or lesbian. No, these people just happen to be of the LGBT community that committed a crime that any other person would be on trial for or would be under some sort of penalty for. This does not give you the right simply because you're not a traditional rapist. to try to rape or try to impose your advances on someone who clearly said either they're not interested in you because they're heterosexual or they're not interested in you because whether or not they are part of your community, you're just not their type. So society needs to get away from the panic fear of possibly upsetting the LGBT community because of the discrimination factor and laws in place and look at the actual crime. This outrage and these protesters and these protectors of this community tend to always try to put out some huge outcry protest post, some anti-smear, some anti-support campaign, some smearing campaign against someone. They try to overshadow the legal system so that these people are just looked at as a tormented gay member of the community. This is not the way those laws are supposed to be used. The same way a person in a wheelchair who happened to take a gun and shoot somebody because they were mad that day shouldn't get away because people look at their physical disability and feel sorry. The minute anyone, be it in public or on some post or in a media article or in a newspaper article, mentions any one of the four categories of the LGBT community in their speech, in their articles, in their approach, in their viewpoints, immediately the ears of the community of this particular protected class of people perk up like dogs that heard a whistle or heard a strange noise in their master's home and start looking for something to break apart and deflect the public away from what the hell is going on. How on earth is this society ever going to get evened out if all we keep doing is just focusing on the point to offset what the real problem is, to get to the bottom of it all? That is a problem. Notice that how not one news article emerges highlighting a criminal as a gay criminal. But if this was a black athlete who happened to be part of this community, immediately the media must showcase that aspect of the black athlete, because once again, the African-American community must be the showboat monkeys. They must be the fallback plan, the distraction plan carry out. Not one news article comes out when there is a LGBT community member who has committed something where that is either allowed to be pressed on, people are allowed to circulate it on social media like every other type of story. None of that happens. And if they do happen to have it up there, not one person is allowed in the media to mention the word gay. Very, very little bit do you hear homosexual man commits. They'll say homeless man. They'll say disabled man. They'll say black man. They will never say a homosexual, a gay, a lesbian, anything, unless it happens to be a gay-specific line among the community, and even that won't be passed around or circulated as long as everybody else's. That is not making anybody feel protected but still subjected to all the laws that's out there. This is enabling these people to do these things because this particular class is in place. These laws are in place to protect that class from real criminals who hate them because of nothing more than the fact that they have a lifestyle that person doesn't agree with. That is absolutely wrong, and actually sitting up there and allowing the other side to do what they want to do simply because they're protected by these laws is even worse. If any sexual offenses are reported by this community by someone, it will never make the news and it will never be highlighted, nor will it be something that will be tried in the public's eye. And once again, as I said, if this was a black athlete or a black person who was homosexual, both of those things would be not only emphasized, highlighted, and forever showcased before any other word about the particular article content comes forth. The second highest, in my opinion, of a community in a protected class that tends to misuse the law is the women's capacity. Those of you women back there that are sitting up there shaking your head, saying whatever it is, try to pay attention. If you are not one of these people, you should have no type of offense. You should be able to see things without rose-colored glasses and be able to address our faults as well so that we can make a difference worldwide and nationwide and community-wide. Society immediately gives women an undocumented, unofficial blanket to misbehave. And to those women who are real women and that are not out there doing that, once again, step to the side and allow the people who should be under the spotlight be under the spotlight. Society automatically assumes that if there's a parental debate over children, that women are immediately the best parent. Before they hear the details, before they get to the bottom of what's been going on, before they truly ask a father who may be just as great a parent as the mother involved, what exactly is going on? They don't really pretty much go for the details of each case. They go for what the blanket generalization philosophically, psychiatrically is documented, the overall generalization. They don't allow these actual cases to be heard on their individual merit, which leads to many more male sexual harassment victims, which leads to many more criminals being released or pardoned or not given their proper sentence because society just can't put their head around grasping that a soft-scented woman could possibly be a hardcore killer until so much comes out, so much damage has been done that they must take action. Unless, of course, these females are black and haven't even committed a big, deep offense. The minute that anything comes out, and this woman cries on camera, or there's some sort of, you know, woe is me type of sad, sob story, here come the feminist groups out there to say, you're only attacking this person because she's a woman. Take a look at the details before you come out, ready to go be motherhead. As I've stated before, sexual offenses by women, even if there's been some proof or watered down before it gets to trial, or when it gets to trial, everybody tries to make some sort of understanding or put some sort of sad, sob history story behind this woman's intent to rape your child, to impregnate herself with 13-year-old sperm, to make a career out of teaching by day and being a madam by night. None of these things anybody can expect of a woman because especially the smaller she is, especially the most docile voice she is. And I'm not taking away from the horrors that women suffer on a daily basis, nor am I taking away from the years of victimization going back to colonial days that women have suffered. I'm damn sure not taking away the intensity that black women have suffered. But with all that being said, each and every person is a human being and everybody is capable of doing something. Nor am I putting this out there so that all of you little lawmakers up there that's trying to find some excuse to just be bastards will use this as a way to be vindictive against people you don't like either. Lawmaking is supposed to be in place to really serve a just way of operation. Since a lot of people in the collective can't seem to respect people on their own, that's what laws are for, to let them know you can act any way you like, but if you get caught or if this shit happens, you are subject to a penalty. It may not teach you anything, but you damn sure won't be able to mess with society. Third class in line is the disabled. Everybody seems to look over a person with a physical disability to believe that these people have not learned how to survive outside of their disability, how to make do, how to adjust to their circumstances. So anything can happen from any one of these people in the minute that someone gets run over by a wheelchair, somebody is rude and hits you with their cane, you overlook it, and or you're upset, but you sit there and you'll go, you know what, you better watch yourself next time, dude. And that person goes without accountability, free to do it again. And if this should come up, that there's proof and support showing that this person actually committed a crime, it's really hard for people to look past what they see and see what's on the table. Once again, protected class laws. They should not be allowed to have outrage about certain things before all facts are in place and everything has been weighed out, and then step in if something is a little too severe. But until then, right now, those that this is designed to protect and those real victims that are out there are being pushed to the back burner now because this person or these particular people that have been showcased to the front have been able to wreck everything that's been in place. Now the big wigs are going to start getting up there, figuring out what went wrong when somebody got killed a little too often, when some major thing took place and now the media is in the uproar about it. Now they're going to go back and try to double back to fix an extreme mistake that could have been prevented. And now the real victims are going to suffer under some new amendment, some new law adjustment. Because now they have to overcompensate for all the stuff that they let happen because they didn't watch it or they had their assumptions or they let it go by. And now those people who really need it are going to be suffering because the jerks before them screwed it up for everybody. We really need to pick our battles, and we really need to watch what it is that we're putting in place. You can't just implement something and leave it to go on autopilot. Now we're going to bring in our panelists that's in, been waiting for a little bit. Welcome to the On Means X Show with Katie Barnett.
Oh, yes, this is Carlos Sullivan Jones or Stalo Jenkins calling from D.C.
Hey, Stalo, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. So what is your take about tonight's question? Do you believe that the protected class laws are a blanket for classless behavior from the people they protect?
You bringing that up, it's funny, you know, how many things that highlights and how many truths, you know, how true it is. But, you know, okay, you know, it was never intended to be, but we know one thing. The entire Civil Rights Act and the action that took place that we as a people put forth, we as the people that put forth the action, you know, that resulted in any change in this country. It resulted in an act that was supposed to protect us, but everybody else perverted it in any way possible. When you really look at it, like I was just thinking, like the way that they even put it into language, okay, the Civil Rights Act tells you you cannot discriminate, right? But it also tells you there are certain classes of people you can treat differently based on their race also. So, you know, I believe it was Professor that always used to reference the double talk. See, that's another piece of the double talk, because now what we have is they tried to take our nationality and reduce it down to a disability, put it on the same level as disability, sexual orientation. This was in a time, you know, right before the Genome Project, they was trying to plant any type of false science to anything, you know, to try to still legitimize the sexual bestiality they've been, you know, engaged in. Anyway, you know, the raping of everything, you know, he was looking for any reason. See, I remember even before the Genome Project really took off, I remember reading somewhere where one of the two leaders of the Genome Project said, we'll probably find a gay gene within 5 years. They haven't found it yet. That's been like 20 years, 30, like almost 25 years, right? But the funny thing is they was already looking for things to legitimize bestial behavior as well anyway. They was looking for genes to track sadistic criminals, sex criminals, and everything. They was looking for genes, but the genes itself really didn't exist. You know, they still are searching for, like, sequences and things that tag to these things, but they still can't find them because it's not really a natural thing, you know, that they want to put it as. It's really a cultural thing. It really is. You see, so they tried to get double, like, okay, so then the law reflects how confused they were. You see what I mean? So we have people using the law that was meant to protect us, you know, as a people and protect people from discrimination, but people double it back and use it against us because they gave them the opportunity to do so by reducing it down to several categories, first of all. Like, why is that, okay, the civil, the Civil Rights Bill in itself. Why is it that when a black person tries to act on it, it doesn't seem to get as much media attention, doesn't seem to have as much success, but then when it's concerning any other of the protected classes, it seems to be just fine. And that is a real, that is, I bet you if somebody did the research, that stat would show how many successful claims of discrimination. And I bet you would see very little in relation to what we think anyway. So it's a sad thing to say, like, how the law, and the thing is, I don't think we're making enough laws or revisions to laws. We're not backing our laws up. A lot of them are going away. Voting Rights Act, like, we just allowing it to go away. Instead of, like, it's not, we're not still acting, you know. We got to continue to act on the law. You see what I'm saying? Like, we have to act first, then the law must, you know. See, we have to act first. That was the only reason that the law ever changed. Anything was even set in place to protect anyone or anything.
So, okay,
you know.
Taylor, I wanna kind of redirect a little bit. Protected laws are in place because apparently there's been special, unique infractions on special kind of people. Okay.
Yeah.
Handicapped people are being denied jobs or fired from jobs or denied housing or treatment or even insurance policies to sort of try to either deny them or customize unfair policies because this person has a disability. Okay? My question tonight is, with those laws being put in place, rightfully so, because these people have a right to live like anybody else, without, you know, fear, without fear of their safety being, you know, endangered or anything. On the other hand, do you find that there are people that's protected under these laws that are using the law to act out recklessly and believe that they're going to be unaccountable?
I agree that is happening. And I think the reason it's happening, you know, forget the reason it's happening. It is happening. That is exactly happening. And the thing is, we can't blur the lines anymore. You know, with the whole, you know, that, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, the whole, we gotta label and would call every agenda for what it is at this point. You know, I say.
That's my question. Now, I'm going to, we spoke about this on a previous segment, okay, where one of the panelists brought up that everybody's afraid to call out a person, say, like I said, of the LGBT community or a woman on a crime that was committed. Nobody wants to look at the case based on what was committed because that person is a member of the protected class. Okay, I bring up the example of if it's a disabled person that happened to take a sword, for example, that the Olympic runner with no legs that was on trial for killing his girlfriend. I really haven't followed up on the case to find out where the case is now. But everybody fell for the tears. Everybody is pretty much looking at the fact that how could this guy have committed such a heinous crime when he has no legs, rather than understand that these things come from a person's feelings, a person's mind, a person's, you know, mindset. Okay, they're angry like anybody else. They're probably angrier because of things they think of. You know, my question is, do things like that happen to come about on such an increased level because these laws are in place to protect them, and a lot of people are coming out and saying no. The only reason why that person is on trial is because they're gay. The only reason why that person is on trial is because they're being discriminated against. Do you believe that these laws are in place to, you know, helping that happen?
Right, and I think so. I think you're exactly right. And I think, you know, the brainwashing keeps a lot of people from seeing it. It's the fact that, okay, in all reality, yeah, they have compassion for all protected groups in the court of law. Except, but if you go in the court of law and say, because I'm black and suffer from post-traumatic, you know, slavery disorder as has been referenced before, you will get no sympathy whatsoever. So that just is showing you how it's so, you know, hypocritical, you know. It's very hypocritical. But anything, if you associate something that they can relate to, they choose to relate to, you know.
Well, I did bring that up and noticed that as much as the blacks are protected under race, class, or supposed to be anyway, pretty much we already see what the media brings out. We already see what happens. So pretty much they're not really protected by their own laws in the first place or any laws put in place. Matter of fact, those are the first laws that get the chopping block. That gets to the chopping block. We already spoke about how the Civil Rights Act of 1965, the Voters Rights Act, actually, of 1865 was being chopped across like crazy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They want to keep that out. They took up some key points that pretty much was the perception of the protected class. And we sat back, and why this happens, we speak again, is that our community in itself needs to get together. It needs to get together. It needs to have the outrage that all these other communities have as for the most minute and smallest of things, as the LGBT community and the feminist community are the biggest protesters. They are the biggest rabid dogs when it comes down to hearing anything about anything being brought up under that particular category. Okay? My question is, does this allow people under this class, once again, okay, to behave recklessly? And I'm not speaking about everybody, because there are members of those classes that are just trying to be civilians. They want to walk and they want to be residents of the world just like anybody else. But there
and
are people that act audaciously, they act crazy, all right? They act outside of the law, and because the members of this community will protest on their behalf, will make noise on their behalf, okay, will cry out, will immediately deflect the media or the public reading about this away from what is going on and just put it on who this person is. Do you feel that's allowed? Is that something that these classes
are allowed? Yes, absolutely.
Happen?
You're absolutely right. And what's so funny is it makes me think, okay, throughout my life, you know, you can even see it in children, you know, people planting in children's heads that certain children choose protected classes just because they know they can get away with more because they are part of them. Okay, for example, any of them, whatever you're thinking, place in the blank. Or you know, tell a child he has this problem or that problem or whatever. They use it to their advantage. And that's the same. And we're teaching our children to come up that way. And the thing is, it's reflective of the whole society. People are doing it. You know, yeah, there are people that need to be protected. And there are people who want to exploit that protection for themselves when they need not of it. You know, there's many of them. You know, lacks integrity, and it's because we're allowing a lack of integrity to take over. You know, how dare you know to protect class rights, laws, ledgers, and the paperwork, all the literature, everything being written on paper, and it not manifest into something that truly uplifts our community. Because a lot of work was put into all that. How did, you know? It's because we allowed the lack of integrity and the zeal and the zest and how much power other people want to flex. When we flex none, they flex the power using our tools that we've created. We can no longer be satisfied with just creating the tool, you know, and we've grown satisfied with that, I think, over time. I'm thinking, and I think we need to get out of that, all of us, you know, and those of us that are out of that, bring others out, No longer are we satisfied with creating the tool, but we also must use the tool for our own benefit. You know, whatever we invent, we got to invent it for us. We have to really start doing so.
Thank you, Cielo. I'm going to bring in our next panelist, okay? Hang on just a sec. Welcome to the show, Chloe. You're on the air.
Good evening, KD and the panel. This is Al Tariq Atkins calling from Dothan, Alabama.
Hey, Tech Nine. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay. Well, this is my question tonight, and I want to ask you what you feel about it. Do you believe that protected class laws are becoming a blanket for classless behavior by the people that they protect?
Yes, I do, because of the fact that a certain segment of society is to be maintained, you know, and then there are certain segments that people don't care for and never really have. But then are hypocritical and trying to act like they do. So yes, it is that way, you know. And the more faster that we see this for what it is, the more faster we can address the issue. But if you want to play something like what Professor said, Professor Carl Tone Jones said. If you want to pretend to be asleep about these issues, then they would just continue to keep going on. And these things will keep happening, and these certain segments of society will keep getting the passes that they've always enjoyed. And that's what it's been about, and it's still about to this day. And it will be that way until enough people get tired enough to do something about it.
Okay, and as I was breaking down earlier, and I'm not too sure if you were in, but I think there are three particular groups, all right, and, you know, I was bringing this up, and I want to hear what you think of it, but three particular groups, in my opinion, are the biggest culprits of this, and higher up is the LGBT community, all right? Now, this is a problem. Like, right now, we're speaking about it. If there's somebody from that community listening in, they have their ears to the ground waiting for someone to say anything that they can spin around and turn into gay bashing or turn into discrimination. And this isn't the situation. I don't give a damn if you are striped, you got three horned heads, if you've got four eyes or pale. It doesn't matter to me. If you commit a crime, if you commit an infraction on another human being, okay, if you step out of place and it's a law against that, whether or not you are a protected class member does not give you the right to have a free pass to do it, because all of your advocates are going to come out and start making noise. All right? And as I brought up earlier, rarely do you ever hear a news story say a gay man was accused of rape. A gay man was accused of killing. Even if that person does happen to be homosexual, bisexual, or transgender, whatever, very rarely do they say that, you know, this person was a homosexual man who committed a crime, unless that was committed against another person of their community or it was that type of community-related crime. But I can guarantee you that they're quick to say it in the media if it was a black member of that community who committed that particular offense. And that is where I'm saying that what the reason for these laws to be in place then becomes compromised for those who really need it. And I believe that. I mean, listen, when was the last time you heard of anybody that reported a same-sex attempt of rape, a same-sex crime? You hear about same-sex to be a domestic abuse, but they put that under a general category as these are a couple too. It's not about the actual specifics of homosexuality coming to play when it's in a negative light. When it comes down to universal crime laws. So that's my question. I mean, do you believe what I'm believing? I mean, what I'm saying out. Do you agree?
How did you say that question?
Well, I said, I believe that the LGBT community is the biggest infractions of this, or the biggest example.
Oh,
You know, the minute someone says gay in their speech, the minute somebody brings up something, if there was a criminal act that was committed and it happened to be a member of their community, there's going to be quick to head to the media to be protesters and advocates. And they will not let the actual crime be the center focus of the outrage. They're going to immediately say, this person is on trial because they're gay. Not because they committed a crime. Not because somebody found their advances to be uncomfortable. Not because something came out of it because that person was rejected. But because they're gay, because they're bisexual, because they're being discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, do you agree with what I'm saying there?
Yeah, basically because oh, my God. At the end of the day now, it's like, you know, they've taken, and in a way I can see, but it's like they're taking it to another level with it. That made me kind of look at the thing as, and it's not officially that way, but just watch how I break it down. When they say that gay is the new black. Of course, in essence, that's not true. But guess what? As far as the strides that they're making, as far as their rights, it's similarities there and even beyond as far as the spirit of their movement, because they're getting things done. And you can't front on them without some type of backlash going on.
Absolutely.
And they're
going
to bring their full outrage and all that stuff to the front. With us, we brought it so far. But a lot of times with them, they're going to have the political backing and everything, as we see. They got the president is more, as far as calling them brothers and sisters, than our people. He will attend more things going on with them than with us, because there's times when he turned down certain meetings with certain historic black groups and everything. You know, let's just be real about it. You know, and I mean, it's just a messed up thing, but economics plays a role. And also unity. Unity is sincere. That's the one thing that the black movement, you know, for a while now has lacked, and that we took on the gay community. See, our community is not a community really any longer. So people could come in just like how they did, and it was on the way down then. And there was a man even that a lot of people, except for people who really was understanding the history, that I really just started knowing about. And I can't remember his name, but he was like a mentor to Martin Luther King and some various other brothers that was in the struggle. He was a gay man. And he was their mentor. And I watched where he even said that in the future that they were going to have a big stake in things that was going on. And this happened now. He was saying this back in the 60s. And I never even knew this until lately. And I said, wow, I don't believe that he really predicted how these things would be, because I guess so many people were in the closet, just like hip-hop once upon a time. It was underground, it was in the closet. But guess what? Even with that, the hip-hop culture is a movement. But when it was distorted, then, you know, at first it was underground. And the movement, as far as, you know, with gay people, was underground. Because it was looked down, was looked upon as a bad thing. The same, in essence, as hip-hop was looked upon by popular culture as a bad thing. But the thing was, they worked in, and they kept working. They kept building on what is a culture to them. We didn't keep doing it, or we allowed other people to dictate our ways, the same as black culture in America overall. We allow other people to dictate what way that we go and how our movement will grow. So in turn, that helped to help really to destroy us more, you know, as a people. Because everyone else benefited off us. Gay people benefited off our movement and everything when you really look at the history. But have we really truly benefited? And you look at our history, you look at our communities today, and for the overall part, no, we haven't benefited. Everybody else has benefited more than us. If you just look at us and you can see.
Absolutely.
Stevie Wonder can see that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Which is why one of the groups I did not bring up, as I told Salo earlier, is our people, because we do have supposed laws in place to protect the unique crimes against us. However, the protection has been scarce to none. Okay? The whole thing that I'm bringing up here is this. The advocacy needs to be properly directed. If you're going to have an outrage about something, be sure of what the situation is. Don't use it as a deflection tactic so that you can remove the media's attention from the actual crime on hand and point it towards the thing that the protected class laws protect. Okay? I don't care, as I said before, if you are a zebra. If you've got three heads and stripes, and if you've done something wrong, you've done something wrong. This is not supposed to give people a get out of jail free card simply because they're protected class. It's not supposed to be that way. And this is what I'm saying. When the hell does it come back from women's rights versus this woman committed a crime? When does it come away from the, you know, American Disabilities Act versus this disabled person committed a bad act? When does it come from this was a homosexual man versus this is a homosexual rapist? The fact that they are, listen, I have looked as many of these articles that circulate for days on end that the media won't stop talking about when it's the flavor of the month or the story of the moment. Okay? When have you ever seen the gay community allow a gay person's sexuality to be showcased along with the crime when it's not a black person? I mean, really, I'll wait. You guys think real hard. Tell me when you have seen a big, high-profile news case come up where they mentioned the person was a homosexual or a bisexual, unless that was a crime that was specifically committed against somebody in that community. Now all the media attention needs to go up on that particular crime and forget, so, you know, we can talk about the fact that it was a gay person who committed that crime. That's not fair. That's not being just, and that's not using the protection of these special class protection in the right manner. And in turn, it further fuels the fire of what's wrong with society now. And for all the, barring all those people that just come out their houses hating things that are different, okay, barring that, taking that off the table because that does not apply. But in turn, if these people are walking around continuing to feel that they can act any way they want and they can wave it away in court because they're going to have people hooping and hollering for them, okay, in turn, it's going to allow the hatred that some people have for these people to fester because guess what? They're going to be able to do whatever they want and everybody's going to raise hell the minute that accountability comes into play. That is the problem. This is not what these laws will protect, what were put in place to protect. These laws were put in place to protect real people that mind their damn business, that can do a job just as well as you, that go home to their families, that get up to do it all over again, and have the right to stand on a bus stop or sit in their wheelchair at a train stop or do whatever and not have somebody who simply doesn't like their difference to be attacking them. And that's my problem with open. Let's go to the next big class in line. Women. Society has a horrible way of deflecting from the abilities women can do. Too many women sexual offenders, really, and women pedophiles, which they never like to put those two words together, female pedophile. They hate to put that in. As much as women have been wrecked for years, and there's been plenty of real cases that's already there, and I don't advocate for anyone to take that type of thing and use it for any vengeful or vindictive plot. But for those that are doing it, these laws are allowing that to happen because everybody's going to jump up and put the fear of God in anybody who dares to say, this woman is just a criminal. This gay person is just a criminal. This disabled person is a criminal. All of these advocacy groups call on these laws, and then turn around and try to deflect from the crime to put it on the actual category, which shouldn't be. But if there was a gay person in any one of these particular categories who committed an offense from something as small as they accidentally bumped a financier's soul to murder, that will be emphasized to the day that the person himself died. And then in archives it will still show. That person will be a gay, disabled black person. All of those adjectives will be put in the sentence before the actual article even gets started. And for those of you out there who can't stand what I'm saying, listen, bite the reality apple, because that's what's going on. You cannot sit there and protect a rapist simply because they're part of a protected community. You can't do that. You can't allow the very thing you put in place to save their life be the very thing they use to infringe on someone else's or take someone else's.
Yep.
There's a panelist coming in. Hang on, fellas.
When we were talking about the... Wait a minute, I'm on the air?
You're on the air.
All right, Katie, you're going to have a talk after this show. This is the second night in a row I came in and it automatically cued me in. I'm sitting here, I was in the middle of the conversation. What's going on?
You got to pick it up with Block Talk. I only see what I see here. Well, you're on. So that's, are you ready or you want, would like me to wait a little
bit? Just give me the topic real quick because I just got home from the gym. I just walked in the door. So give me the topic. Huh?
Do you believe that protected class laws are a blanket for classless behavior by the community they protect?
I think that protected class laws are designed to shield and shape the agenda of white supremacy. So I think that at any given time, it's the protected classes. I mean, when you look at it, every single one of the protected classes always seems to take a position against the black community. So when you look at this, you know, you have to start putting two together and realize that, and then when you check out the money behind these protected classes and see where the money is coming from, it's the same institutions that funded eugenics. It's the same institutions that profited off of slavery. These are the same institutions that were fronts for Jim Crow. So these are the same institutions that fund the ALEC corporations and fund the gun lobby laws and guns and fund Stand Your Ground. So how could there not be an agenda at hand when you talk about these organizations? That's just, you know, for people who are just looking at it, that should be where the rubber hits the road. You know, where the rubber meets the road, that we're actually talking about that to begin with. So I think they're used to protect the class, but I think they're used to shield the agenda of the invisible hand that always seems to be at work 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Thank you very much for that. Tariq, you want to answer back to that? You agree?
You said that I want to answer that?
Yeah, do you agree?
You said, do I agree that what, no?
He says that it's pretty much, the bottom line is that it definitely is, because it goes back even further. It's not just the specific communities that these specific laws are in, but overall, white supremacy is behind it all. So that's
overall. Yeah, of course I agree with that. And it's the root of it, because all the rules that came, you know, many years ago now are really still in play today. You know, it's just they're retooled, you know, and things have been rewritten and stuff like that. But what goes around comes around, you know, and that's the law of nature. So it's the same thing, just a different spin on it, you know, a different look, you know. And yes, it is all because of that. Because when you even look at when it was the dominant society, as far as when you go back deep into Rome, they had a lot of those same kind of ways, which eventually, which a lot of people don't study, was what led to their downfall. You know, so it's, and a lot of it is resurfacing in this new age. You know, so yes, it is because of white supremacy. When Rome was going on, which a lot of people like to say, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. But I don't like that term. You know, I had thought about that. Well, I said, I don't really like that term because I said, for those who believe, you know, as far as Jesus and stuff like that, I said, did Jesus do what the Romans did? I said, I'd rather be on that type of tip. I said, because the Romans weren't up to no good. I said, so right. I don't go with that statement when I'm in Rome, do as the Romans do, because I'm not Roman. I'm African.
Hey, Shayla, I'm going to pose the question to you. Do you agree with what the professor said? Shayla? Okay. All right. Well, Professor, I was bringing up a couple of specifics, so I believe that you wouldn't have heard it. And my thing is, I believe three most dominant groups are involved with with this distraction of these protections, and that definitely top spot is the LGBT community. I've heard you on your show and get about four or five different people simply because one of the words were you. Then they looked for a viewpoint. Then they wanted to question the viewpoint. Then they wanted to put the viewpoint on black. Anybody that comes up with a not so favorable in their mind review or aspect or viewpoint, okay, gets the help. You know, and as I was saying earlier, if you know, when have you in the media, and I know we spoke about the media being, controlled under propaganda here, but when have you seen that if there was a member of that community that has been committed a crime where the gay community doesn't allow the crime itself to be in the media, but the discrimination of the person who committed it because they're gay? So that's what they put on the table to deflect and confuse the people reading about the case and trying to just put up the discrimination by gay type thing. That's one, and I want to ask if you agree with that, and then I'll move on.
Yeah, you know, there's certain groups that are granted some sort of amnesty when it comes to criticism or when it comes to addressing some of the things when they're overstepping their bounds culturally. And because they put a lot of media pressure on specific individuals or specific groups, particularly our group, people become afraid to challenge it. And, you know, it's a shame because, you know, we have people who are high and mighty within our community in terms of exhorting their way. Like, for instance, just now, an idiot almost caused a car accident with me on the way home from the jump because he wants to stand in the middle of the street. And I guess this was his way of exerting power. But that same idiot just got home from jail. So where was that power when the police showed up to lock his ass up? You see what I'm saying? we don't get the concept of power for real. And so we don't exert it. We exert power from a position of weakness when we come to addressing those situations. And when you have those other groups who are empowered with big money behind them and a lot and tons of resources, what happens is they get carte blanche in terms of the things they do, so they can go around and then they can come into our communities and they can infiltrate our communities, they can infiltrate our movements and steal from our movements. So you have the whole concept of gay is the new black, and black people aren't supposed to be offended. You have this whole new thing now where orange is the new black. You know, a whole television series based behind the fact that, you know, being in prison is the new black. That's what you're saying. All right? So then you have another concept where people are walking around wearing black face now, and that's supposed to be an ongoing trend. You have other groups now that are freely, trying to socialize with us by calling us niggas in public, and there's no consequence for it. Sylvester Stallone just has something in the news where he was talking about niggas. And yet and still people are flocking out to see his movie still. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I hear what you're saying in terms of the protected class groups and how they get carte blanche. And what I was just looking at is from the vantage point, our vantage point is, and that's basically to say, yes, they do have those things, and the reason behind it is because we allow it, a lot of it.
Oh, absolutely. You know what, Professor? Bottom line for us, that's always it. You just spoke about the blackface situation. Then they'll have some African-Americans sitting on their side acting like they're smiling along with it. And because that one idiot, you know, does it, then it's supposed to be the, you know, the collective representation. Meanwhile, we're sitting back there talking about it, and we're doing nothing. And what's going to happen from that is people on the outside are going to be like, well, he was right there. He understood the joke. But he doesn't speak to me. And once again, I'm going to go back to this. When the hell does it come? Does it stop being gay rights and start being criminal? When does it stop being Disabilities Act and start being this disabled person committed a bad act? When does it become that? I believe that, I don't know if it was Sky Grid, but we had a previous segment where we were speaking on race in the military. And then here we go now. Everybody's speaking on the fact that, you know, it's a thing in the military. You have to understand that soldiers have to go through a lot, that they only have each other. I don't care if you're wearing a blue uniform, red, white, and blue uniform. You committed rape. It's a crime. That's all the other stuff. Whether or not you have a special force that investigates it because you're in the special force doesn't make it any less a crime. I don't care if it was a lesbian that attacked a woman in uniform. It was a crime. It doesn't matter that she was a lesbian. It doesn't matter that he was gay. There are people that say no, period. That's it. You don't have the right as a gay person or a disabled person or a woman to go into someone's home unannounced, uninvited, and rob them, period. So what's protecting the class is allowing these people to infringe on their own protection, and this is the problem. And the biggest culprit in my observation is the LGBT community. And right now, I can guarantee you, if I head over to my Black Talk inbox, I got quite a few people with outrage questions because nobody's hearing the bottom line. The bottom line is he committed a crime. She committed a crime. But leave it to be a Black LGBT community member, and all of that is up there including the gay. Let's head over to my second highest culprit, women. Women are protected. Feminist groups pop up everywhere. The minute that a woman is on trial because she allowed herself to get involved in something and somebody retaliated or whatever the case is, she's not on trial because she got into a fight and got her ass kicked. She's on trial because she's a woman. And this is an outrage, and this is a crime. You went in there and instigated a fight, and now you want to turn around and call it a woman's rights issue. You were a female teacher who raped a 13-year-old boy, got pregnant, but you're supposed to be looked at as a victim because you just had a bad divorce or someone just was doing, you decided, you know, that I want to act out on the world. You don't get to do that. You are just as much a pedophile as a grown man doing it to a 14-year-old girl. So when does the protected class have the right fight? When do they put out the right fight? When do they stop using this category to deflect from what's actually going on? How many of these attempted rapes or sexual harassment charges that was done by an LGBT community or a disabled person or a woman go unreported or unpublicized because of these protected classes? How many victims are suffering in silence because of this? Because society can't possibly believe, I'm sorry, Professor, society can't believe that a docile woman could possibly commit a heinous crime. Because somebody looking at a person in a wheelchair couldn't possibly see them as someone that could commit a heinous crime. Okay, I'm going to give you the floor now, Professor. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. No, one thing I wanted to clear up. It's not that women are a protected group. White women are a protected group. And, you know, it's a funny thing. I was sitting on online, and I have to do certain clearances every year to work with children. So it's a state law here in Pennsylvania. So doing my FBI fingerprinting, you know, I ordered the fingerprint, the thing which is the dumbest thing in the world, and I'll explain that on another time. But doing the FBI background checks and getting the fingerprints done, I noticed when it asked me what race I was, the races were broken down into four categories. And it was black, white, no, sorry, it was black, Native American, Asian, and white, including white Latinos. And so when you look at this, look at how the whole dynamic and the paradigm is broken down, you know, there's some trickery going on with that in terms of establishing new types of groups and so forth. And a lot of that has something to do with another topic that we'll talk about, which is the degenerative situation going on in the dominant society with the negative birth rate. But to address some of the things that they're talking about is, you know, when we have these groups that are putting these protests out, you have to remember, there's big money. And it's not only big money, but always an agenda at hand. You know, these are the same groups that fund these retreats, that Jerry Sandusky was a front for down when he had this situation up in Penn State. That we have also, they meet at the Hellfire Club over in London, over in Britain, or they meet in Bohemian Grove and those little places. And every time they go there, they're always soliciting. These are like male group clubs now. They're always soliciting young boys or young men. Now, I keep telling people about this group called NAMBLA, you know, the North American National Association of, the North American Man Boy Love Association, where they're trying are reaching that these are pedophiles who want to change the laws so that pedophilia no longer is illegal. So when you have these types of groups out there and they're trying to push it now to where it won't even be considered a mental illness, when you have these same groups now, you look at the money, these same groups are the same groups that push for homosexuality to be not classified as a mental illness in the 70s. So when you have all of these different factors coming in, it's always about the money. And, you know, a lot of times we look at things on the surface, but when you start digging and you follow the money, you see where the money goes, and the money always goes back to these illustrious families, these elite families, and these elite corporations that are billion-dollar corporations that are trying to instill their agenda. And if you look at some of these different things, some of the different periodicals and some of the different books they put together, if you look at movies and books like 1984, if you look at some of the things that they write, you know, you'll understand the mindset. See, it's hard for people to understand the mindset of these groups and white supremacist groups because really we only study it from our position, like from our angle. If you study it from a holistic historical perspective, you can actually see them plot, them plan. You can actually see when they have the Agenda 21 meetings off the coast of Buenos Aires. You know, you can see when the plan in motion, you can see it unfolding. You can see it unfolding in the street. You can see it. The whole, if I was to tell you that the whole homosexual agenda was tied to this whole green movement and so forth, and all of the bike lanes being put into this, you wouldn't understand it unless you understood white supremacy and understood how the two things go hand in hand. So I say all that to say that follow the money, and you'll see the true culprit in terms of these groups and where they're going and where they're headed and who's putting them together.
Right. Absolutely. So we're in the part of the show where I start asking for solutions. So I'll read you up first. What? How do you feel that we can solve them or we can make some noise?
How do I feel that we can make some noise?
Yeah.
As far as the people?
As far as these laws being used for white supremacy, being used to inflict upon society, definitely we already know what we have to do as a community, because our protected laws, if there are any, are being manhandled by the people who are the reason for the protection. So what do we do about these things?
Oh, okay. The main thing is something I had mentioned earlier.
I need you to speak up to me, honey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me get this right. I had said this on the show that Brother Carl is on, and the main thing is we have to raise our children with a certain mindset, you know, and it has to be, you know, what a lot of people are afraid of, a lot of our people even as well, you know, because they say that we're rocking a boat and we're troublemakers, the same as those of us who came, you know, in the past as far as our ancestors who tried to get us to be about us first. And we must be about us first, because just as Malcolm X said, there could be no unity without black unity first. We have to love one another. We have to raise up our children, because they're the ones who are the ones coming up to make our world the reality that it will be and what it is. So we must teach them. We must teach them about all the things that we're talking about. And we must teach them the ways to grow beyond that, you know, as far as white supremacy and stuff like that. And that's not saying to be trying to hurt them or anything like that, but to be in defense of ourselves in every facet that we have to be in order for us to be a truly free people. Because with us not running anything of our own, no big major corporations, We're African rooted people. We have no ties to them as far as trade, really, or none of that. We have to get on that in order to be a thriving and surviving and a people who are living well. Without that, we will stay in a subservient position just as much as the slaves were, because when the slaves were the slaves, guess what? They didn't run really anything. They were house hands and field hands. And pretty much, when you look at us today, we're the same, but we just don't have the shackles and stuff on our ankles and the crazy devices around our necks and all that. The main thing we have now, which has outdone that, and they know it, is the chains on our brains. So until we teach our kids to unlock these chains on the brains and to do for self, then we will never overcome this. And they know that. So that's the only thing, and it's we have to do that. If we don't do it, well, we have a choice. If we don't do it, then we'll bear the consequences of not doing it for self. But if we do, then at least we can be proud and say that we tried to do what our ancestors was in the process of doing until their movements got sorted the same. But the struggle must continue.
Right. I agree with you. Professor, same question to you.
Repeat the question one more time, Katie, please. I'm listening, but I just...
Solution. How do we get this back under control?
Well, back under control, I don't know if we ever had it under control. So to get it under control, we need to form a cohesive unit. We need to become... You know, how people talk about other communities, they talk about them in cohesive units. So they talk about Jews as one people. They talk about Latinos as one people, even though Latinos are diverse, as you know, as diverse of people as you'll find. But you talk about Europeans. They're diverse until it's time to, you know, take a stand against us. Then all of a sudden, they become the unified front. You know, you talk about the Asian community. You know, the Asian community has so much animosity towards each other, but However, when it comes to sticking together and making money or making power moves, they seem to find a common thread, a common bond, and they'll work. They'll go across their, you know, they'll step across their languages, they'll step across their histories to work. We need to get to that point where we're doing that as a community. And you know, part of the problem with that is we don't have outside of America, we don't have a home country that we can just say that it's all. I mean, we can say all we want about loving Africa and wanting to be down with Africa, but you go to Africa and they're broken down. There's so many different divisive sects in Africa that there's no unity there. I mean, they're still being exploited. And then, you know, we need to do that here in America. We need to become that cohesive group that can bond, and we need to really avoid the pettiness that breaks down those communities. I mean, that breaks down the potential, the cohesiveness of building those communities. And we can, but it's going to take us dealing with the younger generation, because you have too many older brothers and sisters who are bitter, who are not happy, and who refuse to take a back seat to allow the new ideologies to kick in because it's not their ideas. So we need to look past those brothers and sisters to the future, and we need to instill in the future a need to come and think race first. So if we get people to think in race first, we can become that cohesive block. And the economics are already in place. It's just for us to make it work and make it happen and work together. And once we start to build that sense of community, there won't be any real competition, because it'll spread throughout the whole diaspora. And it'll the communities around the world will adopt that same mantra, because as many historians and many travelers of the world will tell you, blacks around the world are looking to America for us to take the lead in this struggle for our liberation from the chains of white supremacy on a global state, on a global basis.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, let me ask you a question. I want to see if you are sort of on my wavelength. We definitely know we have a hell of a lot of stuff that we have to work with, Professor. And I think before we could even start getting to the main stuff, we got to get our basic thinking together as a people. Definitely do. You just mentioned something that makes a hell of a lot of difference in some things. You spoke about how the Asians have their own internal fights among each other. But one thing that you can say is, regardless of what they fight with among each other, outsiders are never welcome to join that fight. Okay, I say the same for Native Americans. Native Americans claim their own, even if there's a 0.00001% Indian blood in them. They're Native American, and they will take whatever crime that the outside society is charging their person with, grab that person out of that system, and deal with it in their own laws. It's not like they'll let it go. But they won't allow the outsiders to interfere with one of their own. And that's something I feel that since we, like you said, we don't have a country of our own to return to. So how about with this, especially with this particular topic tonight, we start thinking like an instant society and seeing if these people are allowing this protected class law to be a shield or a carte blanche for bad behavior, okay, that person may eventually, you know, rape one of my daughters or molest one of my sons or come across me. You know what I mean? So why not outrage now about the fact that it's happening? Yeah, at least that's one fight we can actually say we're fighting. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. We need to definitely start on that one page. We need to be, and like I said, it's not that we need to come together and hold hands and sing kumbaya. It's not that we need to to be out there and singing, you know, joy to the world. We just need to be on the same comprehensive page when we come to dealing with each other and dealing with others. And when we're on that same comprehensive page, when we can focus, when it's not just an act that is instinctive, then I think that, you know, it changes our position and power in our community. It changes the way our children look at us. It changes the way our children look at themselves, perceive themselves, and it changes our fortunes with the world. You know, a very good point was made during the third Hidden Colors, not, you know, champion anybody to go get that movie, Hidden Colors 3, because it should be available now on Amazon. But one of the key points that was made is how we deal with politics. And we think vote, 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 vote is like the answer in politics. And then you notice that no matter how much we vote, the politicians never seem to have our best intention at heart. And so when you come to a politician, if you talk about, well, listen, I didn't vote for you, but I did contribute to your campaign. Now all of a sudden, you know, the politician is interested in your views, is interested in lobbying your cause, because they realize that if you are one of the contributors to their campaign, they want the money. They don't give a damn about your vote. They want the money. See, the vote, the elections are already rigged, but they just want the money. So when you show up with a check and say, these things are tied to the check, then you get changes in the community. You get changes. But until we can come together as one united elected bloc, until you get the position where we are a unified bloc and addressing it, then we're going to be still having this conversation. Our children are going to be having this conversation. Well, wait, excuse me. No, our children won't be having this conversation 20, 30 years later. Our children will be talking about how can we avoid going the way of the Native Americans? How can we avoid going the way of the Tasmanians? How can we avoid going the way of the Native Australians? That's what they'll be talking about.
This is
not an option here. This is war. And we really need to start looking at it and start strategizing our defensive in terms of a military objective. And because the opposition is planning for us, and they're using military tactics against us. So we're the only ones still playing. You know, I would say more, and I would try to incite more people, but the brothers are still too busy trying to be tough with one another and sleeping out overnight, camping out overnight waiting for the new LeBrons to come out. So we got a lot of work to do.
Okay, question to you, Altarik.
Yeah.
Do you agree that if we work for, at least for right now, as a society on the whole, and outrage against these things happening, these protected class criminals getting away with certain things, thinking about it as coming to you now, would this be one less fight, or at least one fight that we're fighting?
Well, we are in the biggest fight, the fight for our survival. I just really, yeah, this was something that came to my mind, and I love what Professor has said. And everybody tends to know this, from the poorest of the poor up into, you know, the wealthiest of the wealthy, that money talks and BS walks. And that made me think about the vote, and especially how a lot of our people vote, 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 get out and vote. And if we don't have any dollars behind these votes, what do you think they're going to do for us? Why haven't anyone done anything for this? Does anybody ever think about that, really? What have they really done with all these votes that people are talking about, and the ones that they put in behind these people that's from our community? And what have they truly built for us? What legacy have they really left for us? They may have left the ones that we put in there. They may have left one back for their own personal family. But as far as community, as it's supposed to be, there's no real documentation or true illustration of us demonstrating that this process works for us overall. And it will never work until we come together and we are strong as an economic force, not a consuming force. You know, not as being consumers, because consumers don't dictate nothing. You know, so we have to be in a position like other people in, but we can come to the same table as everybody else and be able to, to put up what we need to. Because if you can't put up, it's like what they say, either put up or shut up. And we are in that position as a people. If we're not putting up nothing, then we can't expect to get nothing. So if you have the table of power with people and you don't have nothing to bring, any type of power to bring to the table, then you're going to have to walk away from the table. And this is what we're faced with.
Well, guys, let me ask you this. Now, like I said, you know, under no circumstances am I taking away the fact that we're not going to make any real change without us building ourselves for ourselves, and I get that. But with tonight's topic being on the table, shouldn't our voices first be what happened? I mean, listen, before we can get to economics, because that's a hell of a fight in itself. We have to first get people to start giving a damn about each other as each other. Okay, I'm saying, speaking about a racist, getting the media deflection from these people, like I said, the biggest, largest, loudmouth group is the LGBT community. They're the first ones that will go out there the minute it's a person of their community and come up with 500 different screen posts and immediately deflect from the actual crime to put it on to the category of the person. Okay, shouldn't we first start saying, before we even talk about our long, rich, deep rooted problem, instantly, this now, this is something that can affect your kid now. This is something that can affect you on the workplace now. Shouldn't we right now say, forget what we don't like about each other, at least for this? This was Mrs. Jones' kid that this happened to, and this guy is going to get off because people are talking about him like he's the victim. I mean, shouldn't this be what we focus on when it comes to something like this? This is a smaller of the big war. And that's my question. I mean, is that something short solution with us using our voices nonstop besides standing by with cell phone cameras? Besides talking about it in social media, I mean, actually being pissed off.
Well, Katie, what we're talking about is tactical warfare and being tactical and efficient in our efforts to address this stuff, because what's happening is these things are springing leaks like, you know, holes on a dike or a dam, you know, and with addressing the situation is like plugging it with our fingers. We have to figure out let's fix the dam, because the dam is what the issue is, not the water sprinkling through. The water sprinkling through is the symptom of it all. And we need to try to get to the point where we recognize the bigger picture here. And because when you address the bigger picture, it takes care of all the other situations. See, yeah, we should be vocal in terms of dealing with these situations. But let's also be tactical. Let's also be tactical. So let's, like I said before, let's find the money. Let's find the money. Where's the money coming from? Who's supporting these groups? Put pressure on those groups. So if E.F. Hutton is supporting those groups, let's put pressure on E.F. Hutton. If there's a franchise or something that's supporting them, let's put pressure on that franchise. You know, that's supporting them and giving them money and funding them, because that's when you get the changes. That's when you hear from people. That's when you get the people to move in the right direction. Is when you put them in that position where they have to address it but they have to address it from somebody putting pressure on them because the people who thought they were untouchable are now getting touched. So if Sears, I'm not saying Sears is doing this, but let's just say, for example, if Sears was funding these programs, funding these groups, well then, not a protest against Sears. Okay. That's how you address it. You got to address the money because people don't give a damn about people screaming in the streets. They don't give a damn about what you write on them in the press unless it's something that is – unless it goes viral. And we had those situations like the young sister, you know, we were talking about earlier in the other show where she was raped and these white boys were putting it all over Twitter and all over the Internet. That story didn't even go viral. It was through grassroots media efforts and private media efforts that we even heard about the story. But that story didn't go viral. That's because they control the media outlet. So unless we address their money and attack them in their pockets, they're not going to see anything. Unless we address their positions, authority, and say, listen, we have this lump sum of cash as a group. And where our money goes, our vote goes. So this cash and votes go to whoever supports this particular item on our agenda. And we need to see something in good faith before we commit either one to these politicians. So that's how you got to address these things. But to yell and scream about it or to kick back, and I know that's not what you're saying, but some people might interpret it that way. But so to protest it is one thing, but to try to actually get some results, then we have to be real tactical about how we address situations like that. We have to be able to network, and we have to be able to be organized. And until we can be those things, then any type of protest will be like shooting a water gun against a granite wall. You know, the wall might get wet, but there's no damage being done.
Absolutely. And I definitely was not referring to yet another Million Man March. That's not doing anything except putting it on TV to show people that we were doing it. It's just another parade in everybody's mind. I'm not speaking about that. I agree totally with what you said about following the money trail and going there because that seems to be all that is understood on that end. There's no humanity involved in that side. There's no compassion involved in that side. There is. We need to listen because money is going out the door. All right, guys, be on the word, please. I'm going to call in a minute. In 1 second. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Yeah, be on the alert. Yeah, okay. This is Joe. So are you on the alert now?
I already knew it was you, Joe, but go ahead, continue on.
All right, so you got this show about, is it a blanket shield for special interest groups, huh? Well, I'm going to have to agree with you. I think people take advantage of the laws that were made ostensibly for the protection against egregious behavior, but the people for whom it was geared for protection take advantage of it. And you gave some examples in your description page. But immigrants take advantage of it, plus other protected interest groups as well. You can't confront somebody, you can't even ask them to act like civilized human beings without getting some kind of attitude or some kind of accusation that you're racist or something like that. So I'm going to agree with your title tonight.
Okay, is that your finished point?
Yeah, I make my presentation nice and short and sweet. I don't ramble on.
Well,
six, seven,
I'm going to agree with you on that point because regardless of what it is you feel we speak on, nobody has the right to act like an ass and get away with it because there's a protection law on their category. That's my point across the board. Whether you're a woman, whether you're a wheelchair-bound person, whether you are white, black, striped, or polka dotted, you act like an ass, you get the penalties. Nobody should be infringing on another person's right to be, nor should that person feel like because they didn't get the response they're looking for, they have a right to retaliate in a humane fashion as well.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, yeah, I know that.
Really,
yeah.
Totally. And I appreciate you, seeing that point as well. My whole point is We need to stand up, period. This affects everybody on a whole and definitely affects us in particular. But we have to understand that the laws were designed to protect real victims, real people that are walking the street, and because they dress a certain way and somebody doesn't like that because it's untraditional to them, they get to impose on that person's right to be safe. That's not what this is designed for.
Right. Ostensibly, it wasn't. Do you know how the sexual harassment laws came about?
Say that again because you got a little muffled for me.
I can't hear you. You've got some kind of, like, squeaky noise in the background.
Yeah, so on my end as well. I said I need you to say that again because you got a little
muffled. Here's what happened. Years ago, maybe about 15, 20 years ago now, there was the real reason for the sexual harassment law was that a male employer propositioned his female employee. He said, you either sleep with me or you get fired. She refused to sleep with him, so he fired her, so she took him to court, won the court case. That was legitimate. 6 years later, what had happened was another male employer made the same kind of, I wouldn't say offering, but same kind of proposition to the female. Female accepted. Then, after she accepted, she thought about it, sued him, won the case, and therefore the sexual harassment laws went on an avalanche. Now, I heard a story, I don't know if it's true because I wasn't there, but I heard a story of a woman who was in the hallway of her corporation. Now, she's walking down the hallway. She takes a look at the entrance to the lobby. In comes a guy, hugs the secretary. Okay? This woman who sees this particular act of affection going on sues the company for sexual harassment. That's how bad it got. Now, the guy that hugged the secretary, he was gay. The secretary knew him. There was no sexual, energy going on. But she, the woman who saw this, felt uncomfortable, and sued under sexual harassment laws. This is how bad everything is getting, these special protection laws and crap like this. It's getting out of hand.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you're saying she witnessed this and filed and won the case for herself?
Yeah, she filed it because she felt uncomfortable. She didn't file it as a class action suit on behalf of the woman, the secretary at the desk or anything. She said she witnessed what was going on. She felt uncomfortable, not sexually harassed, uncomfortable, and under the sexual harassment laws filed a lawsuit. I also know of a former supervisor that I used to work for. He said that at times when he was interviewing female applicants, he had the normal picture of himself and his wife in a picture frame. He said that when the female applicant would come in to be interviewed, he would keep the door open and he would take that family picture and put it down. Why? Because females, if they wanted a nice quick little paycheck, could take a look around any particular office and see if there's anything which they consider to be sexually offensive going on, because the guy might have a picture of his girlfriend in a bikini or in a halter top, and as a result, claim to feel uncomfortable. So everything's getting out of hand.
Absolutely. Some things are getting out of hand quite a bit. And that is on the laws of our damn country. Because if you're going to be stupid enough to sit there and to say something that small, where there was no harm done and nobody was offended or infracted upon, then that goes to a higher court. Superior Court is so busy chopping up shit they shouldn't be doing that these things go unattended to. Okay, and that's not a good thing. I agree with you. Not everything is not about women being uncomfortable when it's not about something that's of actual violation. Now, there's another situation where there was a woman who happened to dress in a certain way. The male co-workers found her too sexy and she got fired.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's another ridiculous situation. They can't control their little penises, so she has to lose her job because they can't take it. Now, what does that say about our laws? Protected class laws are just for that. You're supposed to protect people that have unique certain violations going on that the law in itself, in its general state, does not really penalize to the extent of the crime or the customization of the nature of the crime. Why on earth are all these things being used in a position that's exactly what you're protecting against?
Well, the reason why they're being
used. Go ahead. Listen.
The reason they're being used like that is because people want to. Plain and simple. If there's an advantage, people will take advantage of it. Just as simple as that. Some people do not. There are a lot of people who are not virtuous, have a lot of integrity. They're not. They are larcenous. They are avaricious, and that's just the way people are.
And that is exactly the same mentality that's making us be so messed up. All of us. We're all just a mess because everybody is either saying it is what it is or leave it be. But nobody has the right to infract on another person, and no law in the world should protect that person or give them a free pass shield to do what they feel like doing because they expect a bunch of people to jump up and start screaming on the mass media and deflecting from what the actual problem is. Now, frankly, that woman that sued for being uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
would have gotten it from me.
Mm-hmm.
Would have gotten it from me. You're wasting court time, you're wasting taxpayers' dollars for something you couldn't take. Then you know what? Stop looking in people's offices. Stay out of the situation you can't handle. If you're that thin-skinned, then you need to be in a hermit role.
Well,
and then it turns out, as you said, the person was gay and the woman knew him. That woman didn't say anything on behalf of the lawsuit, or against the lawsuit, I should say.
Yep, and that's the problem with not just the court system, but with people. People will take advantage of a small opportunity, make a mountain out of a molehill, because, I'm going to say this outright. Most women in America love to be victims. Okay, if there's an opportunity to complain, to whine about something, that's normal behavior. But now to use that and to take it to the umpteenth degree and actually make money out of it, it's like manna from heaven. Okay, now you can take the side of the guys who are doing the same thing, and there are plenty of guys doing the same thing. These laws are sucky. And I don't even know if they were really intended to protect the people that they were supposed to protect to begin with, because I have a very, very negative opinion about Congress and legislation in general. They may have known that something like this was snowball. Therefore, they did it. Not for the benefit of the so-called victims, but just to allow the slippery slope to take its, normal momentum and just destroy everything.
Well, the sad part is the laws are needed. The sadder part is that when they put them in place, they probably had another agenda behind that, I guess to make it look like they were doing the part of people who were voting for them. As my professor says, it's definitely where the money trail's going. And you know what? Then it turns into a thing just like the Children's Services Administration, where they've ignored certain things for so long until it became a catastrophe. Then it was a world widespread catastrophe. Now they have to run back into the offices and do double damage control. Now what they do is they cut everything and everybody, and the original source of everything is messed up to begin with. So now everybody's back with their asses dangling in the wind.
You know, you're talking about Child Protective Services, right? Okay, now that's one of the most, I can't curse on you, Sean. Okay, it's one of the most sucked up agencies in the government, because they want to take your kids now just for being obese. What? Your kid is fat? You must be a lousy parent. We have to make sure that you don't harm this child, so we have to take him. So they're making...
And then turn around and tell a teacher to do exactly the same thing they took the kids away from the parents for doing. So, once again, we have some discombobulated lawmakers up there probably kicking back a few when they're making these laws.
If they're even doing that, I don't even have faith in them for doing that. There was the senator. He's no longer in Congress. Senator DeMint. He's now the president of the Heritage Corporation, Heritage Foundation. And he said that 94% of the time, the congressmen don't even read the bills they pass. 94% of the time. So what does that say?
Wow.
Well, to tag on to that one, and for, you know, the stars must be aligned because I'm agreeing with Joe tonight, to tag on to that, you know, even Jesse Ventura's show before they took it off the air showed how when he presented certain bills to congressmen right here in Pennsylvania where I live, that they were surprised at some of the legislation, and they couldn't even recall the bill until he pulled it to the page where their signature was there, was presented. So, you know, it's all about stuff in your pocket, stuff in their pocket, and when their pockets are getting stuffed, what's happening is they don't care about whatever the bill is. They don't care about what they're putting their signature to half the time. They just know where the money came from and where and how to keep that money coming in by satisfying the pimps that are pimping them out to sell the, you know, everybody out for real, for real. It's not even just one community. They sell everybody out.
Yeah, it was something I wanted to say, and it just came to my mind from what was just being said. And it's like there's nothing more worse than educated fools, and that's what we have running things. Basically, heartless, so-called educated people who don't have common sense.
Well, what they have larceny in their souls. They're nothing more than the prostitutes, okay? And the lobbyists are all the pimps. They don't listen to people. They listen to where the money's coming from. And has anybody that I know of or you know of or anybody knows of who's made more than like a $100 contribution towards a campaign? Do you think they're actually going to listen to somebody who's going to plop down $100 or make no donations to their campaign?
Sure.
With these assholes, they're spending $2 million to get a seat that's only paying $160,000. Anybody ever wonder about why they're doing that?
Sure. Indeed. You just bring up some awesome points tonight, Joe. And the guys and the rest of you on the panel, I appreciate your presence and your input. We're down to our last 3 minutes, so I'm going to be signing off this evening. You guys are fantastic. I appreciate you all the time bringing in your viewpoints and your community's issues, as well as the contributions you make individually to all of these things. To the rest of my listeners, protective class laws are supposed to protect the victims, not to create them. We are not supposed to allow ourselves to sleep and skip back because maybe that particular class doesn't apply to your immediate next door backyard. But allowing these people to go away, allowing these people to get by, allowing these advocacy groups to deflect from what the actual problem is giving no accountability to people who may eventually come into your direct backyard and affect you, and then it'll be too late. So until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, and thank you all again for coming. God bless you.
Okay, take it easy, people. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.